The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Do you ever stand in front of the supplements in the health food store and try to figure out which one is the right one for me? Well, today, returning host, author of four books, Dr. Deanna Minnick, nutritionist, will help us decipher how to determine what is right for us. We're going to talk about her book, Quantum Supplements, A Total Health and Wellness Makeover with Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs. The second half of the show will feature Ruth Lovett Smith, a concerned mom who wanted to help her severely allergic son to have safe foods to eat. So she created a website to offer needed resources. How are chakras and food's vibrational frequency connected? What does that have to do with choosing the right supplements for ourselves? Listen to Dr. Minnick and find out. We are here today again with Dr. Deanna Minnick, who has written four different books that I mentioned in the introduction. And today we're going to cover Quantum Supplements, A Total Health and Wellness Makeover with Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs. So welcome back, Dr. Minnick.
Well, thank you for having me, Dr. Melanie. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, you have so much information that's already been very beneficial for me personally. I have loaned out your books, and I can't always remember where they have gone to, but they're helping people. So it's wonderful, and I'm just so grateful that you are getting all this information into publication for the general public. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for mentioning it. I believe that it's all about education and having things at your fingertips, making things easy and practical to follow. So thanks.
Well, good. And, of course, we've got to say, before anybody tries something new, what do they have to do first? Who do they have to consult?
Your healthcare practitioner.
Right.
Yeah, it's really important to work with a healthcare professional of some sort, somebody that you trust, that has the knowledge base, that has the skill set, so that they can guide you appropriately. And also, you know, tuning into yourself and really going with what you feel is right. So, you know, using your own sense of intuition and instinct out with what your healthcare professional says, I think is important. It's very important to get multiple opinions on your health, just like you would get with your house, getting a quote on a roof or getting a quote on a new car or something along those lines. We might get multiple quotes. It's really like a kaleidoscope to get a lot of different perspectives into your health and being, because we just have natural blind spots.
Yes, we do. And I always recommend getting muscle tested, too, because the amount on the bottle or the package may not be the right amount for you.
Right. Right, and that would be tuning into your own sense of, you know, what you feel is right. Your body's letting you know.
Yes, yes. And it can change over time, because for me, I've taken some supplements, and over time, I needed to change the amount, either up or down or lay off of it for a while. So, you know, it changes.
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I think many people, they kind of go through the motions of taking their supplements every day, And it's almost without thinking. We don't intuit first and we don't sense. We just kind of move into the motions. And what we know about supplements is that if we're constantly taking something, the body kind of gets used to that threshold. And then after a while, we start requiring it rather than utilizing it in the way that it was intended when we first started. So I think it's good to shake things up. I'm really a big proponent of variety in many ways, variety of how we think, variety of what we eat, variety of the supplements we take, the variety of the ways that we take to work in the morning. It really helps with neuronal plastic, our mind plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just another principle for supplement use, that you definitely want some variety there.
Yeah, and I heard from my nurse practitioner that if you eat the same foods all the time, you can actually develop an allergy to them.
That's right. And in fact, you know, why do we have increased rates of things like wheat sensitivity, gluten intolerance? Well, wheat, soy, corn are in so many of our foods, in our food supply. So when we constantly see this coupled with poor digestion and poor immunity, what we can do is develop a lot of these first sensitivities, then intolerance, and then even further on to an allergy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I believe in the power of moving away from the rut and releasing and resetting the body.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I'm one of those that developed that intolerance that became an allergy to wheat. But, so it's good to know. So let's talk specifically about your book. You say on page 3 that every life form carries a vibration. Explain what you mean.
Sure. You know, if you think of science is composed of everything from biology, the pure physical, you know, seeing the body, looking inside the body, all the way to more the finer, subtle forms of science like quantum physics, which talks about matter being vibrating particles, essentially that we're made of these electrons, these neutrons, these protons, all kind of swirling around, and there's a constant movement that's happening. And really, everybody individually carries their own energetic signature. So, of course, you all see your body. That's your physical signature. And then what's making up the template of your physical body is the more subtle, at the level of the cell, and even further into the level of the components that make up the cell, the electrons, kind of the finer working of us, and that is really our energetic signature. And not only do we have energetic signatures, but the foods that we eat also have a certain energetic resonance, just like the supplements that we take in, the vitamins, the minerals, the herbs, all of those things. What we're trying to do in the healing process is to reset our vibratory signature from one of dysfunction into one of function. So that's what we're doing with these substances, is we're changing our vibration and bringing it into health. It's almost like when you play music really loud and it doesn't sound good. It's almost like this can happen inside the cell when we have dysfunction. There's kind of this vibrational noise.
Mm-hmm.
And when we bring in something that is streamlined and turns down the dial, maybe changes it to a different station, maybe we move into music that's very soothing and peaceful for the heart. We feel relaxed. It changes our vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what I mean when I state that about the vibration of every human being and about every living thing.
Okay. And I know that there's certain supplements that can't be combined with certain medications. And I didn't know that either. So that's also good to understand that vibrational mix may not be compatible.
And also not to mix certain supplements with certain foods. And certain foods can change even the pharmaceutical metabolism in the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep in mind, it's always a dance. It's a dance amongst all of the information pieces that we're putting into ourselves. So, yes, you as the educated consumer, and we're all patients. We all get some type of medical, you know, we're in tune with keeping our bodies healthy. So looking into the interactions with different medications is really important if you are taking any. Very important. I mean, something like grapefruit juice
mm-hmm.
can change the metabolism of a number of different drugs. So typically what you hear from your physician is, well, take your grapefruit juice away from the drug. And similarly, if we take a vitamin like zinc, and we just take zinc on an empty stomach, we're going to feel very nauseous. It's like a lead weight in the stomach. So we need food. We need food as a vehicle to help with the assimilation and digestion of zinc so that it's not just sitting on an exposed gut lining. So there are lots of these types of interactions, and I would encourage your listeners to make sure that before they start a supplementation process, that they work with a professional that can help them to align their medications, their supplements, and their food together.
Right, because I was taking everything that was prescribed, the supplements and the nutrients and the drops and everything that my nurse practitioner prescribed. But when I went to the nutritionist, he told me I was taking them in the wrong order. So just rearranging the order did a whole different healthy impact on me getting better.
Absolutely. I believe it. Yeah.
Okay.
And pharmacists are actually very aware of that as well. When you pick up your medication at the pharmacy, you can always ask the pharmacist about what interactions would this medication have with vitamins, minerals, herbs, and other pharmaceuticals, and even food.
Yes, I agree. For years, I took my thyroid medication at night because nobody ever told me you were supposed to take it in the morning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's important for us to communicate and to let our health practitioners know what supplements and nutrients we're taking, because sometimes we're afraid to tell them, thinking, oh, well, they'll say, you can't take that. But it's better to tell them and to have open communication on that. So that's good.
Agreed, absolutely.
So you say on page 5 that many health issues are best tackled from a variety of angles. So we've talked about that, all the different angles. So if somebody goes to buy something and they don't know whether the product has what it says it has in it or whether it's just a company that's selling something that only has a portion of it in it, how do they know? How do they know if it really is what it says it is?
You know what? I unfortunately, I have to say that many times we won't know. We don't know. And that's why you have to consider the source. We all have to do our homework in terms of looking at the origin of the supplement that we're taking. And even if you see bulk herbs, what is the source? Is it was it organically grown? What are the processes that are relating to quality control of that herb or that vitamin or that mineral? And many times, getting your supplements from a licensed healthcare professional is the way to go, because usually there are added levels of diligence there in terms of quality control and better ingredients, viability of different nutrients. So knowing the source, looking at, if you go into your local health food store, all of the supplements on the shelf are not going to be created equal. They just will not.
Yeah.
So it's up to us as educated consumers to investigate the companies, ask the questions, ask to see their third-party analysis of quality and analysis, and from there be a good judge. I mean, you can also check on things like consumer reports, things of that nature.
Okay. Well, it's time for us to take a break, so let's pause right here, and we'll come back after the break and talk some more, okay?
Great.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
How do you make the right decisions in your life when it comes to your health? By education and proven practices. Tune in to Holistic Therapies with Dr. Jeffrey Kiker. Dr. Jeff will speak to the leading experts in natural health care to help you take charge of your health and well-being. It's a look at the best from alternative health and tested clinical methods designed to give you everything you need to live a better, healthier life. Holistic Therapies can be heard every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Dr. Minnick told us how important it is to have the right vibration of food in our body. Let's learn some more. Okay, we're back here with Dr. Minnick, continuing talking about her book, Quantum Supplements, A Total Health and Wellness Makeover with Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs. And just in case we forget to do this or run out of time at the end, tell them how they can get your book.
Sure. There are many ways to get it. You can go on Amazon.com and order it that way. You can also go to my website, foodandspirit.com.
And the word and is spelled out, A-N-D.
Yes, that's right. And you can buy my books right on my site. You can sign up for my free newsletter, and you'll see I've got a variety of other postings as well.
Okay. That sounds very good. I appreciate that. And they can look at your other books, too.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Because many of the books are interrelated. And mm-hmm. So if you have interest in one, chances are you're going to have interest in the others.
Mm-hmm. And they can also, by the time this airs, they'll be able to go through my website to my storefront and see your books and click through that, and it will take them to Amazon to order it that way, too. So multiple ways.
Sure.
Okay. So let's talk about the difference you mentioned in the book about a macronutrient versus a micronutrient. What are they?
Yes, macronutrient. Macro means big. Micro means small. So the macronutrients are the things that we hear a lot about, the protein, carbohydrate, and fat. So these are the different types of nutrients that provide to us energy in the form of calories. The micronutrients are smaller components in food that don't necessarily give us calories, but they give us the cofactors that we need for a number of reactions in the body. So things like selenium, things like chromium, things like iodine. So these smaller nutrients that really help to impact our physiological function. And there's also another kind of nutrient, which mm-hmm. I think many people need to be aware of, and that is phytonutrient. P-H-Y-T-O nutrient. Phyto meaning from plants. So all of the thousands of different phytonutrients that are in our food supply are incredibly medicinal.
Hmm. And how do we know what is a phyto food type?
Well, if it comes, well, I'll give you some examples. Things like lycopene. Lycopene comes from tomatoes. It's
right.
What makes tomatoes red. So that is a phytonutrient. Something like lutein. Lutein is the yellow-green component, and that is what makes yellow-green vegetables the colors that they are.
Okay.
Even beta-carotene, which is an orange-colored component that we find in carrots. So these types of pigments, typically they're called carotenoids, but they can be other classes of plant compounds like anthocyanins.
Mm-hmm.
So things that are like in the dark red or dark purple berries that are healing agents for our bodies as well.
So would chlorophyll be one of those as well?
Yes, chlorophyll is a wonderful phytonutrient. Chlorophyll is wonderful for the heart. It's wonderful for the whole system, really, because it acts as an antioxidant
mm-hmm.
and helps to bind toxins from the body. So, in fact, what you typically see with people that have a lot of chlorophyll in their diet is they have lower amounts of body odor because what the chlorophyll is doing is binding up a lot of those stinky, smelly toxins and taking them out.
Right, and it helps with elimination if people have problems with constipation or irritable bowel.
Oh, yeah.
It's good
absolutely.
For that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. So, all right. Now, did you explain the difference between the micro and macro? I know macro is the big, but the micronutrient, did you explain that and I missed it?
Yeah, the micronutrients are the smaller components in our food, things like selenium or iron. Yeah, the teeny tiny things that, you know, we might hear something about them, but we may not focus on them. You know, calcium is a mineral. It's definitely one of the nutrient type of components that we find in food that there's a lot of talk around. But the micro ones are the smaller ones that maybe don't get a lot of attention, but they're very important in the body.
So it sounds like I need more selenium to help with my memory.
Well, memory, gosh, there are a number of things for memory in the mind in the third eye chakra. One of the basic things is a macronutrient, which is fat. Good, healthy fat will help the brain in terms of creating flow and fluidity in the body, in the not just the overall body, but also our brains.
That's interesting because I was told I don't have enough fat in my diet. So
there you go. Well, especially the omega-3 long fluid fats are important.
Mm-hmm. And according to my body type, I'm a person that would do better being a vegetarian. I have very little meat in my diet, but they told me to only have fish or chicken, but only at breakfast and lunch, not at dinner, because they said I can't digest it very well.
Sure. And that ties into the solar plexus chakra, which is all around digestion. And so there are a variety of different supplements for digestion, like sometimes we don't produce enough stomach acid, which relays into not being able to digest protein well. So getting some supplemental betaine hydrochloric acid can be a good strategy. Now, that's definitely something you want to work with a practitioner on because that's stomach acid that you're basically taking orally. So that can be, it could create a lot of side effects if you don't do it in the right way.
Uh-huh.
Then there's also enzymes, amylase, protease, lipase that can get in and help to break up a lot of the macronutrients after a meal.
Mm-hmm.
You can take those as a supplement as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do the digestive enzymes because I don't digest things well, so that's good to know. So how do we know what we need, how to prepare them, and how much to take?
Well, you know, that's a big question in and of itself. Again, back to the whole issue of working with a healthcare practitioner so that you can assess what your needs are. You know, looking at the body system, you know, figuring out, okay, do I have issues with my skeletal system? Do I have low bone mineral density? If so, looking at some of the minerals that comprise the bone, and there are a variety of different blood tests, urine tests, to give you an assessment as to what are your vitamin mineral levels in your body, and do you need any supplemental amounts?
Uh-huh.
So that's one way to do that, and that's why I say to work with a practitioner because they would have access to those types of tests. So that can really help.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I know that Life Extension has a lab where you can send in your blood work to test all those kinds of things as well.
Yes, yes.
So that is good. Well, let's...
I think it's good, yeah.
Yeah, so let's... reemphasize, you got to work with somebody that knows what you need. You can't just go out there thinking, oh, well, I'll muscle test myself and figure it out, because you might not have all the information to know what you need or where to look for it.
You know, I think muscle testing is fine, but you always want to add in other ways of assessing what your needs are.
Okay.
So I think having the blood test, getting a workup, I think is good. Using muscle testing as an adjunctive therapy in conjunction with everything else, I think you want to take it all under consideration.
Okay. I agree. So let's pick out a specific chakra area and see. You mentioned a little bit about the solar plexus and digestion. You mentioned about the third eye. How about the sacral? What would be something that might be needed for that area?
Yeah, the sacral chakra connects to our large intestine and also to our ovaries if we're a woman and our uterus. So some of the best things in that area would be probiotics. Probiotics are wonderful for helping to reestablish good gut flora.
Okay.
And also the fiber. Fiber is tremendous for the sacral chakra, helping us to let go, helping us to move things through us, getting that fiber to move things through our intestine, and also hydration in terms of water to couple with the fiber for good excretion is important.
Okay. And how about the heart chakra?
The heart chakra, yes. So many different things here. CoQ10, coenzyme Q10 is really used ubiquitously throughout the body, but also has some function in terms of heart energy and heart muscle optimization. So it can really help with a number of different heart-related conditions. Another powerhouse nutrient for the heart is magnesium. Magnesium helps with the electrical activity of the heart, helping to calm somebody down if they have anxiety, really creating a sense of peace within the heart.
Okay.
It's also good for blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
Hypertension.
Okay. Well, we've got about a minute and a half left, and I want to make sure that we tell them again your book, how to find it, and tell them about your food additive guide. So tell them again where to get your book.
Yeah, so you can find my book on my website, foodandspirit.com, and it's spelled out. Also on Dr. Melanie's site, we're going to be posting the books there.
Mm-hmm.
You can find them on Amazon, and, you know, essentially you can sign up for my newsletter on my website. I also have another book called An A to Z Guide to Food Additives, Never Eat What You Can't Pronounce. It's a little pocket guide to help you navigate the supermarket when you're shopping. In terms of knowing what are things like citric acid or maltodextrin, you know, things that you're reading on your label, what is it and should you be eating it?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That little pocket guide will really help with helping you to make sense of the foods that you're eating.
Okay, that is good. And we want to make sure that my listeners know you're coming back August the 2nd. To talk about your other book, Quantum Healing, an A to Z Self-Healing Guide for Over 100 Common Ailments. So.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun. We're going to go through, I've listed 100 different ailments and a multi-prong approach for how you can address those different ailments, everything from acne to yeast infections.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Dr. Minnick, once again for informing us on things that are very, very helpful and useful.
Thank you for having me. It's been my pleasure.
All right.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you living your vital life? One that is showcasing you at your full potential? There are many issues that stand in the way of most people achieving their full potential. We will discuss these issues and how to overcome them each week on The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, with host Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. Living the vital life often requires that we trust our own intuitive voice and that we view illness or life challenges as calls to action to reconnect with the deeper urges of our spirit or soul. Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Step up to the microphone. View the finalists right now on VoiceAmericaKids.tv. America's next great star is waiting to be discovered. Step Up to the Microphone is an exclusive presentation for VoiceAmerica.tv, where you can see and hear America's next top child star. The program is hosted by Voice America's own Cassie Frazier, and new episodes will be available every week exclusively at VoiceAmericaKids.tv. You can say you saw them at the beginning of their superstar career. Tune in to VoiceAmericaKids.tv.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Ruth Lovick Smith, writer and artist, became frustrated because she couldn't find the resources she needed to help her son who had severe food allergies. So she created a website, bestallergysites.com. You can go look at it after the show. Governmental labeling law requires only how many of the top allergen ingredients to be listed on the label. Listen and find out during this next segment. We are here talking to Ruth Lovett Smith about her website called Best Allergy Sites. So Ruth, how did you come to create this site? What's the story behind this?
Well, like many parents with children with food allergies, my son was diagnosed at about 18 months, and it was a shock to us. He had a severe reaction to walnuts, and we learned that there were a lot of foods we couldn't eat because of his food allergies. And so over time, I began to create lists of things he could eat and realized there wasn't a lot of information online. There wasn't a central resource where people could gain the information that I had gathered. And so that was sort of in the beginning days how Best Allergy Sites was born.
Okay. And how long of a process was it from the time you got the idea till it actually was created?
You know, it's kind of funny. It's one of those things where I think it was always in the back of my mind, but I didn't say, oh, I'm going to create this website someday. But, you know, we spent years and years of baking home-baked goods like a lot of other food allergy parents do.
Yes, like me,
and then
yes.
We started, yeah. And, you know, we had to cook things that were egg-free because he had an egg allergy. And then that's great. I love to bake at home, but, leading a busy life, it can be difficult. And I started finding, you know, chocolate chips that were peanut safe and various things. And I thought, wow, there must be more things out there. And so it was probably several years doing this that I realized, I don't know how it sort of came to be, but I realized, gee, there really isn't a website to help other people. You know, there are these mom and pop shops. No one can find them. They're struggling mm-hmm. to sort of make ends meet. And it just sort of started off as a blog where I started sharing recipes and sharing information, and more and more people started saying, oh, I didn't know that this product was available. And to this day, it's amazing. People will say, I didn't know this product was available, and it just sort of grew from there.
And what I find is there doesn't seem to be a lot of consistency between the different places. Like you are saying, there's no central place until I found yours that I can find these things, but I'll go into one Publix grocery store and they have this. And then I'll go to Winn-Dixie and they've got that. And then I've got to read all the labels to make sure it's safe, see what kind of plant it was created in. And, you know, everybody's got to look at the bottom. It says may contain soy, may contain or processed in a plant with eggs. You know, or something like that. And it's like, do I try it? Do I not try it?
Right. And the thing that's really, really confusing about that, and still even the most educated people don't know, the U.S. labeling laws right now only require labeling for the top 8 allergens, which are peanut, tree nut, egg, dairy, soy, wheat, fish, and shellfish. I think I got all 8 there.
Uh-huh.
They do not require labeling for, that is only if that allergen is in a food item. They do not require labeling if a food item is processed in a facility that might, you know, have eggs processed there or peanuts. And they don't require a may contains statement as well. So people get very confused because some people assume if it says may contains, then it may indeed contain peanuts or tree nuts or whatever allergen that is. And that might not be true. But people also assume that if it doesn't have that warning label, then that means it's a safe food. And that's also not true.
Mm-hmm.
And so my focus sort of was on these mom and pop shops that really were catering towards people with allergies. Excuse me. And, you know, wanted their foods to be safe. And they wanted people to know, if it's a peanut allergy, we have no peanuts in this facility whatsoever. We don't, you know, use a line that has peanuts on it. And so that's sort of the type of foods that we focus on our website.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had just found out within the last couple of months that Jason's Deli has a gluten-free menu. And not just a gluten-free menu, but they have a whole process that they have to wipe the grill down and start over and not contaminate it. And I was so shocked and so pleased that I go to eat there about once a week now.
because I know I'm not going to react to the food.
Right. No, that's fantastic. And a lot of places are starting to do that. They're starting to catch on. Not everyone, you know, is in that boat, but there are a lot of places that are recognizing, especially in the gluten-free community, because it seems that the gluten-free community has been much more outspoken than sort of the other allergy communities. But also a lot of the allergies. When you're an adult, sometimes it's easier to avoid allergies. A lot of the other food allergies, it's children. And so it's parents advocating for their children, whereas the gluten-free community is it's a step ahead from
right.
the food allergy community. So you see many more gluten-free foods, and you see many more restaurants willing to take that extra step.
Mm-hmm. P.F. Chang's has gluten-free on their menu. But
yes.
another thing to be careful of is I've gone to restaurants that claim they have gluten-free, and I'll ask the server, I said, but does it have this? I said, because that particular dish is not gluten-free. And she'll say,
right.
well, what do you mean gluten-free? And I'll say, does it have any flour in it? And she'll go, well,
right.
yeah. Does it have
right.
breading on it? Yeah, it does. I said, is it gluten-free bread? Is it, you know, corn flour? She said, well, I don't know. I said, would you please go ask the chef? She came back and she said, it's not gluten-free. I said, then please take it off your menu.
Right, right. You know, the interesting thing about that is that a lot of laws, a lot of states, again, don't have laws regarding this. And what's really neat is I live in Massachusetts. Massachusetts just actually passed one of the first restaurant laws where they require, this specific law requires training in all Massachusetts restaurants in regards to food allergies and intolerances. It requires them to post a sign on their menus as well as in their establishment that says, if you have a food allergy, please notify us. And it requires all restaurant staff, right down from, you know, the cooks to the chefs to the dishwashers, to be trained in food allergy management. And so it's a unique law within the state of Massachusetts. We're hoping that it sort of spreads to other states. It's, you know, it's a start. It's not, you know, 100%. It's still sort of being implemented into these restaurants. But at least in Massachusetts, the restaurants are becoming more and more aware so that we don't run into that problem as much as you might in other states, which mm-hmm. is really nice.
Well, I found in 2008 when I went on a cruise that they had a whole gluten-free kind of protocol. And, you know, I was hesitant to go on the cruise because I thought a week of not eating or just, you know, bringing my own food. And they said, oh, no, we will prepare it fresh for you. I said, my goodness, I feel like a queen. And
yeah,
they did. Every
fantastic.
Single meal, if I wanted it, they would specially prepare it. It might take longer, but it was worth the wait
right.
because I wasn't going to react.
Right. Well, and as you know, there are so many gluten-free options available now that it really, it's not hard for restaurants to get these items. It's not hard for, you know, cruise ships to get these gluten-free breads and these gluten-free, you know, flours. And you know, if you're baking gluten-free, you know, it takes a little getting used to, but it's, you can do it. It's doable.
Uh-huh. And with
so there's
the
really
egg
no
replacer.
Excuse for restaurants.
Mm-hmm. With the egg replacer that you use to replace instead of eggs, things come out even fluffier. And
right.
the texture's better oftentimes. So when we have a family gathering, because my grandson can't have eggs, I can't have the gluten, so we have to have three different cakes.
Right.
You know, one for the general population, and one for me, and one for him. And
right.
what we did last year is on my birthday, I had a bakery make me a gluten-free red velvet cake. And I served
oh,
that
great.
To all my guests, and I didn't tell them it was gluten-free, and they didn't know.
Yeah.
And it was fine.
Yes. The gluten-free foods have come a long way. From when I first started the website, there were a few to try. And, you know, people used to say, oh, they taste like cardboard, or
yes.
crackers don't taste well, or cookies don't taste well. But just within the last 3 to 5 years, I mean, you really can't. We try products here all the time, and my husband doesn't have any allergies, so I won't tell him the same thing. And he'll have a brown, I mean, he eats all the food here. He's like my taste tester.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't get to try anything because he'll eat all the brownies, and I'll say, you know, that was a gluten-free brownie. And you can't tell. It's amazing.
Right. Yeah, I love, I think it's the Betty Crocker gluten-free brownies. They're good.
Yeah.
And I like, Bisquick brand gluten-free, and
mm-hmm.
that works well, too. But then I just read on it today, it says, may contain soy. It's like, great. Why didn't I read that before? So
yeah, you have to be, I mean, that's the, sort of like you said, winter restaurant. Even if the menu says this is gluten-free or this is peanut-free, I mean, the number one rule of thumb is that you always tell the server what your allergies are, what you're allergic to. him. I mean, even my son, who's nine now, you know, he doesn't love to do it, but restaurant, I'll remind him, do you need to something, because we're trying to teach him, and he will say his allergens, but he will also say to them, because he's nine, don't wash the pan after you cook something. You can't, there's no cross-contamination.
Right.
And so he's learning, but it's important to not only tell them, you know, we're lucky that we have these laws in Massachusetts, but some people don't think of that, because a lot of restaurants will cook shellfish and then the next pasta dish and the next pasta dish in the same dish. So it's important to say, you know, this isn't, you know, that I don't like seafood, because I think a lot of restaurants still think that, but that it is a life-threatening allergy if it is, and, you know, please use a separate cooking dish.
Right.
So
my daughter-in-law taught me to, when there's something I'm not sure of, make sure I wash it in the dishwasher, even if it looks clean, even if it looks like it was just water, just to make sure that it's not cross-contaminating.
Right, right. Soap and hot water is what will get rid of the protein, and that's on any surface. That's on, studies have been shown, parents get worried in schools with, you know, peanut butter at cafeteria tables. It's been shown that if you use hot, soapy water and, you know, give it a good wipe down, that will get rid of any protein that's left behind.
Well, that's good to know, because I didn't know if I had to use bleach or some kind of cleanser.
Yeah, no, you can't. It's been shown that wipes, you know, just basic wipes don't always help. Using, obviously, just a rag won't help. But, I mean, it can, you know, diminish it a little bit, but the best thing is just hot soapy water. And the dishwasher is a good idea as well, because you're going to get a good clean there. But if you, you know, just use hot soapy water in your sink or whatnot and make sure you, you know, you wash your dish as well, that should do the trick.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break at this point. When we come back, we're going to discuss more with Ruth Lovett-Smith about best allergy sites.
Great.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
March is Social Worker Month, a time to remember social work heroes like Nobel Prize winner Jane Addams, Secretary of Labor Frances Perkins, and civil rights leaders Dorothy Height and Whitney Young. They all helped make this nation great. You can too. If you're a professional social worker, the National Association of Social Workers provides a unique network of your peers. If you're thinking about becoming a social worker, NASW resources can help you explore your options. Social work is the profession of hope.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative, self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Ruth Lovett-Smith told us that the labeling law only requires the top 8 allergens to be listed on the package label. Let's find out some more. We are back here with Ruth Lovett-Smith, who has the site called bestallergysites.com. And we have just been talking a great deal about all that's involved with people that have to find places to eat and foods to buy. So tell us what your site offers. What does this website offer to the public?
Well, our website is, first of all, a food allergy and intolerance information guide. We have information on all the different types of food allergies, how to manage your food allergies. We try to cover research, current news. That's one section of our website. Another section is what we like to call our directory. We submit, and also other companies submit, their own websites, blogs, companies for review. We do screen each of them because it's important to us to make sure that the products that we list in our directory are products that we would use and do use. But basically, it's a directory of, you know, where you can find a gluten-free cookie or different packaged foods and where you can find them online. Some of the listings are bakeries. Some of them are allergists. We also list the, you know, nonprofits that give a lot of information on food allergies. So it's sort of an all-encompassing directory of where people can find different services and information. And then the third part is we also have a social networking aspect of our website where we have an online community. People can ask questions. They can post their own posts and their own stories. So it's sort of like three little sites combined in one.
Okay. And you also have on that site an FDA recall section.
We do. We have a direct feed from the FDA website where we get all food allergy recalls. So anytime a food product is recalled for food allergy reasons, the feed comes directly to our website. It's on the front page, bestallergysites.com, right at the bottom, and it's updated as the FDA updates their website. So if you happen to check and you see that there's, and I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but a particular brand that's recalling something, you can click on it, and it'll take you right to the FDA website and give you all the information on that particular product and why it was recalled.
Okay. So does your family test out these things, or do people, you know, send you samples to try so you could decide whether to put?
Yes. So it's very expensive and very difficult, obviously, to check if products are completely allergen-free. So to some extent, we sort of take businesses' words for it. However, what we do is many of these businesses who are, say, have peanut-free products or egg-free products, they're very proud of it because it's very difficult to do and it's very expensive to do. And the way that they do it is they have dedicated manufacturing facilities, which means that they do not allow peanuts or tree nuts or anything into that facility, but they also do batch testing. And they will oftentimes put the results of that allergen batch testing on their website. So a lot of these websites, if you do a little bit of digging, you can find, if they do indeed do this, if they don't, then it's obviously difficult to find, but if they do it, they're really proud of it because it's really important. And so they'll say, you know, we have a peanut-free facility, we do batch testing, here's all of the information on this testing, and here's our recent results.
Okay.
The food allergies, unlike the gluten community, we don't have sort of any food allergy seal, like there's a gluten-free seal where you can get that from an independent organization. We don't have that yet in our community.
Oh.
And that particular organization with the gluten-free food, sometimes people will say, oh, I look for this particular seal. That specific organization does sort of all of that vetting. We don't have that yet for food allergies, which is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But we do that research in regards to even we've visited facilities just to see how they, you know, at least locally, how they do what they do. And like I said, they're really proud of it because it is a lot of work. I guess one caveat I would say is just because something says nut-free or gluten-free on the package, there are no laws in regards to that. And so it may not be nut-free. I've had people call me and say, this says nut-free. I bought it. And then I looked in the back, and it said may contain nuts processed in a nut facility.
Uh-huh.
And it's unfortunate. So we really do try to focus on those companies that will, you know, specifically say, and like I said, we to some extent take their word for it, but will say, you know, we are completely in a specific, we don't allow nuts, right down to the point where they don't allow their employees to eat nuts or peanut butter or whatnot, you know, during their shift because they want to keep the facility completely contamination free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
We just want to celebrate.
Uh-huh. I know I ended up in the emergency room last Thursday with an allergic reaction. We don't know what it was. So I was trying to discern what did I try new, what happened. Thank goodness I had an EpiPen. Does your son carry an EpiPen?
Yes, he absolutely does. We've taught him how to self-inject. I don't believe in his situation. He's 9. Every 9-year-old's different, that he's ready to, but we've taught him. He has several at school. We have several at home, and then he carries one in his backpack. He doesn't carry one on his person at all times because our school is so small. There's one in his classroom, one in the lunchroom, one on the recess aide. So we have quite a few, but I can't tell you how many stories of people who have emailed or called and said, you know, thank God that I had the EpiPen because I was in Target and my kid had a reaction. And had we not had that, I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of the food allergy deaths that happen are because people are not carrying their EpiPens.
Right.
So it's really important that if you have a prescription for one, that you do carry it. And even if, you know, oh, my kid hasn't had a reaction in 5 years, that's great. That means you're doing a good job. It doesn't mean that they're not necessarily not allergic anymore.
That's right.
You still need to carry the EpiPen. And it's hard for boys. I get it. Boys don't want to be carrying it. But there are great leg straps now where you can, you know, strap it to your leg and not think about it. And there are different things that you can do. But it really is important to have that at all times.
And they do have, because I had to get a replacement prescription, they do have a practice injector in the box.
They do, which is great. That's what we have the kids use because they're so young. And so they practice, I have two boys, they practice on each other just so that they can learn and so they know how to do it. And luckily, because we never use our EpiPens, we have a lot of expired EpiPens. So we actually practice, we show them, we don't let them use it yet, but we practice ourselves and we, you know, adults in our family, our parents, with the real EpiPens, we'll do it like on an orange or something.
Uh-huh, right.
So they get the feel for what it feels like if you were to inject someone. And then they can see, I can show my son, you know, the needle's not that big, it's okay. Because
uh-huh.
That, I think, scares a lot of kids as they worry about that.
Right, and when I did it last week, I had to do two of them, and I didn't even feel the needle because it was small enough, and I was very grateful.
Right.
So.
Right, yeah.
Now, if somebody wanted to advertise on your site, how do they go through the process to get accepted to do that?
Well, it's pretty easy. They can just email me, Ruth, R-U-T-H, at bestallergysites.com, and we'll have a discussion in regards to, you know, what their product is and what they're looking for. Typically, we try to stick with, you know, again, companies that we use and love. You know, it's great to make a little bit of money on advertising, but it's really important to us that they are products that we feel good about and that we would want people to use. And so that's usually how the process gets started. And I can send them a media kit and information that we have.
Oh, good. Okay. So if there's a parent out there listening who has a child that has severe allergies, what would you say to them?
You know, I think the number one thing I would say is it gets easier. A lot of parents, like myself, when my son was diagnosed at, you know, 18 months, 2 years old, you know, our allergist sort of said, yep, he's got food allergies, here's an EpiPen, and off you go. And that's still happening. And so we sort of had to educate ourselves, and we had to find the information on our own. And, you know, we didn't know. He could die. He couldn't die. What's going to happen? What do we need to avoid? It was a scary situation for us. And he, like I said, he's 9 now. So it's been, you know, 7 years. It does get better. When they're young, it's hard. You worry about everything. You
Right.
worry about play dates. You worry about sleepovers. But I guess the biggest thing is that it does get easier. And there is hope. You know, there are a lot of studies being done right now to try to find a cure or at least find a treatment for food allergies. So as long as, you know, you avoid the allergens that you're allergic to, carry, you know, your EpiPen at all times, you can live a quality life.
Mm-hmm. Is there a story that you could tell, a short one, of someone who used your information or it was helpful to them? Do you have any anecdotal kind of story?
Sure. I think one of the, you know, emails that we get a lot, and unfortunately the same thing happened to me, is that schools are not 100% up to date in regards to dealing with kids with life-threatening food allergies. So a lot of parents will email and say, I don't know what to do. Do I sit my kid at the peanut, and I like to say peanut safe and not peanut free, because there's no such thing as really, you know, a peanut free environment, mm-hmm. but the peanut safe table, you know, should I have a peanut safe classroom? And I guess the one thing that I would say is that, you know, all allergies are different. All children are different. Younger children might need more accommodations in school than older children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when your kids start school, the best thing that you can do is go in and talk to the teachers, talk to the school nurses, and, you know, get what's called an individual health care plan in place. Tell them that your kid has food allergies. So many nurses tell me that they don't even get EpiPens from parents and they don't know these kids have food allergies. So make sure you notify the school. And if for some reason they do give you a hard time, because there are some schools that do, there are disability laws and civil rights laws that do protect children with food allergies in school. So that's important to know if you do have difficulty with your school in getting accommodations.
Oh, that's very good. So does your son feel like he's singled out, or does he feel special having mom create this site related to him?
You know, he goes both ways. I think that he, you know, he, like any kid, he doesn't love his food allergies. He doesn't want to, some kids, you know, are sort of troopers and they want to educate others. He doesn't want to advertise his food allergies. He just wants to be an everyday normal kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he does, you know, I think later down the road he'll appreciate more what I'm doing than he does now. I mean, he does like it sometimes. I'll show him the website and he sort of understands. And recently I wrote an article for Allergic Living magazine and it was about him and how he managed his food allergies. And there's a picture of him. And so I showed him and so he said, I'm famous. And so that was exciting for him.
Okay.
But, I think we need to finish up.
Ruth, we've only got about 10 seconds left. So tell him how to find you.
Okay. Okay, it's easy. You can just find us at bestallergysites.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ruth. This has been very informative, and we might have to have you come back and talk some more. Would you do that?
That sounds great.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Now it's time to wrap up today's show. Thanks for being a listener today. Go to bestallergysites.com to talk to Ruth. Or go to foodandspirit.com to get in touch with Dr. Minnick. Be sure to sign up for my newsletter at thedrmelanieshow.com. Next week, we're going to learn about pain and about cellular healing. Remember, to help yourself, help someone else. Until next week, goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.